Blochlin. Uvalde's mayor all spoke on Friday as questions and anger mounted in the community over gaps in information, contradictory answers given to repeated questions from parents and journalists about what had happened, and silence on other topics about why more deaths could not have been prevented. The gunman, who had recently turned 18, came heavily armed to rob elementary school in the small town of Uvalde on Tuesday and killed 21 people after shooting and wounding his grandmother earlier. He was ultimately shot dead at the school by a federal agent. The attacker entered through a door that was meant to be locked but had been propped open, and after arriving in response to frantic calls from teachers trapped inside the school with the gunman barricaded in a classroom, armed law enforcement officers waited outside the door for about an hour while the killing continued inside the classroom. A specialist SWAT team, for which the officers had apparently been waiting, eventually breached the classroom and shot the killer dead. After several days of stonewalling and contradictory responses by other officials, Stephen McGraw led the press conference on Friday and cited the person in charge of the special police department assigned to the school without naming the person who, on the day, had led the response and held the officers back. "It was the wrong decision," Stephen McGraw conceded. The on-scene commander at the time believed it had transitioned from an active shooter situation to a barricaded subject, he said, adding the commander thought that, at that point, there remained no children at risk. "Obviously, based upon the information we now have, there were children in the classroom at risk," he said. He choked up as he was asked about the apparent tragic error, when people had continued to call the 911 emergency service number throughout the hiatus and tell them there were children needing rescue, and frantic parents outside the school were pleading with other police officers there to move in and end the massacre. Asked about a 40-minute gap in which 911 operators were aware children were alive, but police officers still did not go in, he added, "The decision as made that this was a barricaded subject. There was time to retrieve the keys to the classroom and wait for a tactical team. That was the decision, and that was the thought process. With the benefit of hindsight, of course, it was not the right decision. It was the wrong decision. Period. There's no excuse for that," he said. Stephen McGraw recounted some of the 911 calls, including several from a female who, in a whisper, reported multiple dead in a classroom. The unnamed caller from inside the classroom said there were 8 to 9 students still alive inside the classroom at that stage. At 12:36 p.m. local time, a 911 call that lasted for 21 seconds was received from a child inside the classroom who was told to stay on the line and stay quiet. The child, Stephen McGraw recounted, said, "Please send in the police now." Earlier, demands for answers multiplied as it emerged that extra state spending on school security and police officers trained for mass shootings had not prevented the massacre. Victor Escalon, the South Texas regional director of the state's Department of Public Safety, said on Thursday armed officers arrived at the Robb Elementary School in about 4 minutes, yet it was approximately an hour later that a tactical team of U.S. Border Patrol arrived at the school, burst into the classroom and killed the gunman, while the other armed police officers waited outside. Victor Escalon had given incomplete answers to pointed questions from reporters at a press conference on Thursday about what had happened, including how the authorities had said that an armed officer tried to stop the shooter as he approached the school, then had said the opposite, that in fact there had not been anyone to intercept the shooter beforehand. Telling the media he would try to get more answers, he said at one point, "Could anyone have gone into the classroom sooner? You have to understand, this is a small town." On Friday, Stephen McGraw also addressed the subject of earlier statements about social media posts. "I want to correct something that was said earlier on the investigation, that the killer posted on Facebook publicly that he was going to kill his grandmother, and secondly, he was going to shoot up at a school. That didn't happen," Stephen McGraw said, adding that it was on a message to someone else. On 14th of March, the subject made an Instagram post saying, 10 more days, the director said, to which a respondent asked, "Are you going to shoot up a school? Stop asking dumb questions and you'll see," Salvador Ramos allegedly replied. Adriana Martinez, the mother of Salvador Ramos, said in an interview with CNN local affiliate, "Forgive me, forgive my son."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is your host Musa al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining us in the studio here again is our dear friend Sheikh Nur Muhammad, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. I'm very happy to be here.
Thank you a lot for joining us, dear Sheikh. Our question today is a short and simple one, but perhaps the answer is going to be long. And the question, it is as follows. What is the best way to reach a high level of taqwa?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you mentioned, it sounds to be simple in theory.
In theory.
But if you want to practice it, maybe it's a little bit difficult to do that.
Yes.
You see that what is the best way for reaching the highest level of taqwa? Talking about the taqwa and to be away, if you translate taqwa, you know, we have different translation about that. For example, a God-centered person.
Piety. God-wary.
God-wary, that's yes. Mentioned, yes. God-conscious. We have different translation of that, but right. None of them can convey the reality of taqwa. Or, for example, you can say to be away from committing any sin or error, as, for example, many scholars advise us to not to commit any sin and to be abide by the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are some of the, let's say, consequences of the muttaqi person, a God-conscious person. Anyway, but after all, the general meaning of that is clear for the, especially for Muslims who are talking about this issue. And of course, this is a main, believe it or not, this is a main in Islamic spirituality. How can I reach the highest level of that? Maybe according to Al-Muraqibat, which has been written by Sheikh Maliki Tabrizi, one of the prominent Shia scholars, especially in the field of spirituality, he, in the introduction of that great masterpiece, he said that if you want to reach, of course, I'm paraphrasing the concept of that issue, the highest level of taqwa, you have to start it from your heart, purity of heart. Without purification of hearts, you cannot achieve the highest level of taqwa. And of course, he mentioned more than that, you cannot have a righteous action. because your action stems from your heart. If you do not have pure and clean heart, consequently, your action cannot be purified and righteous one. So right. How can I do that? He said that the beginning of that is kind of prevention from whispering of Satan. He mentioned the khawatir. Something occurs in your mind and some kind of satanic whispering and satanic, temptation of the Satan, you know.
Right. Maybe just, we can... just a stray thought.
Yes. Because when we are busy in this material life, there are lots of temptation and whispering of Satan. Comes and go out.
Constantly, dear Sheikh.
Yes. Of course, when it comes and going out from your mind, because you cannot stop it, and some kind of that, to some extent, is out of my willpower, it cannot cause any problem. But one remain in your mind, and you extend it yourself by your will and power, extend it and expand it. In that case, and it remain in your heart, okay, it cause a problem,
okay, right.
And you have to stop it. And if you cleanse your heart and your mind from this temptation of Satan, what is the outcome of that? The outcome of that becomes, you know, righteous action that you practice. So he starts from the beginning, okay. If you have pure intention, pure mind, and then pure heart, then, you know, stop from any kind of satanic temptation and not to expand on satanic temptation, then you will have the, inshallah, the righteous action. So, as I said, this is a first step of that. And another step is to always be among faithful brothers and sisters. For example, going to mosque, Husseiniya, and different places which are the gathering of purified Muslims, you know, practicing Muslims.
Right.
Because we have in different narrations of Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, that they always be among the righteous people. Pay visit to your brothers and sisters who are faithful ones. I want to say that to be among the Islamic environment.
In an Islamic community. Associate yourself with Islamic communities, centers, basically
mosque,
a community.
Not to be alone. Because We have in narration, when you are alone, when you are into your isolation, Satan comes.
You're never quite alone.
Yes.
Right.
And because of that, we have been encouraged to always, when you are alone, always remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. The great emphasis, I said that, for example, I remember one narration from Imam al-Ridha, alayhi salatu wasalam. He said that always be among your, you know, among Muslim community, among your brothers and sisters, pay visit to them. And if you do that, you actually paid visit to me as your Imam. Very astonishing narration. So it showed that how important,
this fellowship community is.
This fellowship community, my brother, it is very important. Because you see that by the social media, always they invite us to be alone, to always check your social media,
right. Okay?
To be engaged with yourself.
Something else, dear Sheikh, and it's a problem I've noticed with myself and also with many people who want to reach this high level of piety, of being very religious. And you always see these types of persons, they want to do ibadah worship in isolation. They want to go alone in their room and sit alone and turn off the lights and do ibadah there alone. While their family is sitting in the living room, perhaps,
and their fathers are sitting, and their wives and children, they leave them alone, go and pray alone. Or some who say, I must go to the mosque and pray alone, not with my family. Or they take their families with them and leave them in the mosque, and they go in a quiet corner and pray. So basically, I say, they do their worship in isolation, alone, because they, for good reasons, they think they are afraid of riya. They are afraid of showing themselves off. They are afraid of this being, of the sincerity, the tawajjuh and ikhlas, of not being to Allah, but to those who look at them. And that's their logic. So this sickness, if we might call it a sickness, right? Is this a proper way of reaching taqwa?
Exactly, I understand it. I really got the point that what you're talking about. You see that about those people who want to have a spiritual wayfaring toward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly, yes.
You see, the main point here is that you should always be away from some evil environments. For example, from waste talk, those people who have forgotten Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with ignorant people. You want to be away from those community and from those environments. This is recommended, and it has been encouraged in our narrations. But on the other hand, we have a lot of encouragement, and as I mentioned, go to the Islamic environment, those people who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man yudhakkirukumu Allahu ru'yatuh.
Right.
Those people who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, we should go to those community, to among righteous people, and to pay visit to them, your brothers who are faithful people. Go to mosque, for example, sitting in mosque. You see how much reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you by mere sitting in mosque.
Right.
As if you have sit in the paradise. You know, it has been a lot of reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Or for example, in the station of the recitation, some of the memory of Karbala and the Majalis al-Husayni.
You do a majlis, yes, a gathering, talk about the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, about the Prophet. So much thawab and rewards.
It has a lot of reward, but believe it, it has great impact on the spirituality of human being. Very great impact. I cannot mention how much when you go to the Majalis al-Husayniyah, the ceremony of Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and the, for example, preacher comes and talk about the memory of Karbala, about Ahlul Bayt, about Imam Az-Zaman, the last savior of humanity. It has a lot of impact on your spirituality. You see?
Right.
So I want to say that those people who mention that you go to the idolation, these are, first of all, it is not accepted because وَرَحْبَانِيَّةً ابْتَدَأُوهَا مَا كَتَبْنَاهَا عَلَيْهِمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that kind of isolation from people, to have some kind of, to be away from people and to have this mystic life, go to the cave, it is not acceptable in Islam. Okay?
Right.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the verse of Noble Quran and in the narrations of Ahlul Bayt, they talk about paying visit to people. Of course, nice people who remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having this Islamic environment, be among people, but your heart must be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is very important, my brother.
That's why we ask this question, because we've seen this many times. People who are just starting to become religious, they look at their fellow Muslims, they say, and they see that they're not as religious as they are. They are faithful. But there's a difference in the level of religiousness, if you might call it that. And so they shy away from them. And they do not attend their gatherings because they think in their mind, and we know that this is waswasa from shaitan. He convinces him, shaitan, that these are Muslims, but they are not as faithful as you are. So you cannot go to their gatherings. It is better for you to go sit alone in your room and do tasbih.
No, it is not, as you mentioned, most of those, whispering, they come from Satan. And we have, for example, as I mentioned, for the advices of Imam Ridha alayhi salatu wasalam to community of Shia, that always visit each other. Okay, this is important for those people. Of course, maybe you say that I could not find the most righteous people, as-sabiqoon, as-sabiqoon, those people who are foremost people. Of course, in that time and era, maybe you cannot find those prominent, faithful, the you know, staunch followers of Ahlul Bayt. But at least to some extent, you can find...
Yes, to the Muslims.
Yeah, to some extent, you can find a lot of people who are nice people, righteous people, to some extent. Of course, you should pay visit to them, be among them, and establishing and maintaining this relationship with the fellow brother and sister, it has a lot of reward and it has a lot of benefit for spiritual wayfarer.
And with that, we will have to end today's program because we are unfortunately out of time. I thank you, dear Sheikh, for joining us today. And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until next time, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن علي
Food for thought.
Salam, friends. And here are some thought-provoking words from the Prophet's 16th infallible successor, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, whose martyrdom anniversary we commemorated yesterday, the 25th of Shawwal. The true believers are those who fear God and strive hard so that the guidance they have been provided will not be taken away from them. If they remember God and His grace, they feel apprehensive and fearful. If God's verses are recited before them, this increases their faith and they have complete trust in their Lord.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
The world's oldest living man has just turned 113 years and says he's going to be around at least 10 more years. Good for him. Born on May the 27th, 1909 in Venezuela, Juan Vicente Perez Mora is still in pink of his health and memory and does not take medication. He has no trouble recalling his childhood marriage and the names of his siblings, children and grandchildren. He has 41 grandchildren, by the way. So what is the secret behind a long life? Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, love for God, and always carry him in your heart. The Guinness World Records declared Perez Mora the oldest living person last week. The meadows in the foothills of the Swiss Alps have turned white these days, with locals calling it May snow. But it has nothing to do with snow. It's all about narcissus blooms covering the hills above the town of Montreux. Locals call the scene May snow because it looks like a blanket of snow from a distance. The flowers have been a tourist attraction since the 19th century, but factors such as urbanization have caused their decline in the past few years. Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscience of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society was the organizer of this event. It said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022. Artists in a small town in the United Kingdom have created a massive bumblebee mural, hoping to raise awareness about this vanishing species. The mural was painted on the playing field of a primary school in the town of Haptonbridge. It was debuted on International Bee Day. The artist used paints typically used to draw lines for football pitches. Scientists say rising temperatures and heavy pesticide use are contributing to the decline in the number of bumblebees across Europe and North America. They say the population reduction rate is consistent with mass extinction of a species altogether. Children at a school have also created a white flower meadow to help encourage bees to pollinate. A print art exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The carved into wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's wood blocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of a thick sheet of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. Then ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, five deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past six decades, their number have been multiple through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Youssef Jalali from Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trendy news and more from every corner of the world.
The lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from the hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bears' living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
Thousands of people crowd into the British city of Norwich to watch a 2-kilometer-long string of dominoes topple, while winding through town. Some 7,500 breeze blocks were set up for the event. The dominoes slung through street buildings, windows, and even climbed up stairs and trees. The toppling lasted 30 minutes. The moving sculpture was installed across the city with the help of some 200 volunteers. The artistic director said the work was chosen partly because it was a spectacle and both disrupted the city and engaged its people.
There's a sense of anticipation that goes with the work. You will have seen people around town at the moment. Everybody's asking, what's going on, what's going on? And then when they realise what it is, then there's this sense of, oh, and when are you going to knock it over? So it's a sculpture also that gets destroyed in many ways, and that's really part of the work as well. I mean, I like to think about it as a child almost playing with the city. You know, they're setting everything up, and we all know they're going to knock it down at some point, and that's fun.
Daniel Bryan said he was excited about the project because it looked like a child had taken over the city with the joy of knocking down dominoes. The cascading dominoes ran through two cities, eventually ending at the site of Norfolk and Norwich Festival of Arts. The organizers say the goal of the installation was to bring unity to the community.
Today's special.
السلام عليكم.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salamun alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relations.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. You brought joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart, I can feel. Unexplainable feeling being a father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile, holding you, looking in your eyes. I'm so grateful for having you, and every day I pray that you'll find your way. You know I love.
But first, let's look at the calendar. Today, Saturday, is the 26th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of the month of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of the month of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. As usual, let's open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to chapter Takwir verses 1-9.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Idha ash-shamsu kuwirat.
When the sun is wrapped up in darkness.
وَإِذَا النُّجُومُ كَدَرَتْ.
And when the stars fall dispersing.
وَإِذَا الْجِبَالُ سُيِّرَتْ.
And when the mountains are removed.
وَإِذَا الْعِشَارُ عُطِّلَتْ.
And when full-term she-camels are neglected.
وَإِذَا الْوُحُوشُ حُشِرَتْ.
And when the wild beasts are gathered.
وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ.
And when the seas are filled with flame.
وَإِذَا النُّفُوسُ زُوِّجَتْ.
And when the souls are paired.
وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ.
And when the girl who was buried alive is asked.
بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ.
For what sin she was killed.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
After listening to verses 1 to 9 of chapter Takwir, I should say that one of the most dreadful and most savage actions of the pagan Arabs was female infanticide, which is made reference to repeatedly in the Holy Quran. Some commentators believe that this custom was committed only by one tribe of Arabs, but surely it was not a rare phenomenon. Otherwise, the Quran would not emphatically refer to it on frequent occasions. In any case, it is so terrible and cruel that even its rare occurrence is notable. As I told you on this episode of today's special, We're going to speak about father-daughter relation. Fathers play an important part in helping children, especially daughters, gain self-care and self-respect. This goes beyond communicating and treating women, but how fathers see and complement their daughters. In this regard, the father helps to nurture his daughter's self-esteem and shape her perception of beauty and body image. His presence affects a child's emotional intelligence, self-esteem, and confidence. A daughter's relationship with their father can play a key role in their psychological development. In fact, when fathers are present in their daughters' lives, girls grow up with a healthy sense of who they are. They are more confident and self-assured and have a clearer understanding of what they want in life. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and their daughters. In this connection, it must be indicated that, first of all, there's a kind of special delicacy, from emotional points of view, in all girls, and especially in daughters, when daughters come into relation with their fathers. At the same time, we find that in those communities, in those families, where, for example, the mother is available over there, and when the father comes back home and speaks to, his wife, who is the mother of his children, we find that in such connection, in such circle, there are, for example, at least a daughter and a son available at home. And both of them expect many things from the father. Practically, daughters are more sensitive in this regard. Girls in general, and in this case, daughters are more sensitive. And they are, to some extent, more apt to be fragile. Because of this, it must be indicated here that fathers are expected to pay special and careful attention to their daughters and to respect them. And at the same time, we find that from a biological point of view, for certain days, girls may not be in a normal condition. Because of this, they need a special attention. This special attention, this psychological attention, should be given to the daughters, to the girls in general, and to the daughters by their fathers. Because the kind of relationship that we find and that we observe between daughters and their mothers are totally different from the way they expect treatment. A very kind mode of treatment from their fathers.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
This is today's special, and this message to fathers: what you need to know about raising daughters. If you have younger daughters, perhaps ages 5 to 8, take them with you to the mosque.
Remember that the mosque is a place of worship and is just as much a place for women as it is for men. Establish your daughter's relationship with the house of God early on. Take her with you and encourage her to perform salah, prayer, even though at this age it is not required. Just imagine the message this act sends to other fathers. Even though it may be inconvenient at times, an effort to create fond memories is a great step in deeply bonding with your daughter. It will be something she never forgets. When your daughter grows up, perhaps she will be more willing to get involved in the mosque activities, and it may be that you receive reward for that. Remember that the beloved messenger of Allah said, "Whoever guides someone to virtue will be rewarded equivalent to him who practices that good action."
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Anwarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi,
shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. نورت دربي شكرا شكرا يا
رب. Now the previous part was a message to our fathers. This part is to all the daughters. Listen carefully. Your father is the first man in your life and therefore the first male role model. There is a strong need for a young girl to have a positive male role model in her life. A father who respects his wife, daughter, and other women helps his daughter trust and respect the opposite gender too. A father sets the standard by which his daughter will judge and view other men.
Today's studies show that it is pivotal for a father to be in the life of his daughter and how crucial that could be and how that can affect her future and her entire life.
Definitely.
Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was there for his beloved daughter, Fatima, peace be upon her, from the moment of her birth. And he was with her even the moments that he was taking his last breaths. And as we all know, he gave her glad tidings that she would be the first to join him. Rasulullah was there from the first moment. And you know, even that first moment, if the father is not happy that he's having a daughter, this will affect the life of that daughter.
Absolutely.
Rasulullah was joyous. He was happy that he's having a daughter. Even till today, within our communities, our societies, if a woman becomes pregnant and she tells her husband, "I went and just did a, you know, a sunar and the child is a girl," some men become grumpy. They become upset.
Yeah.
"I wanted a boy. I wanted this." Till today, after 1400 years, so Rasulullah became very happy and delighted.
That was interesting topic. The topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside, I know that there's a better world. 'Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.